cut in real quick just to let you know that your next guest, Sheldon, is ready and in waiting. I'll let you finish up your question there with Paul and bring him in when you're ready.
Will do. Will do.
And if you want to take a break, let me know.
Okay. I'm good right now.
All right.
I don't ever know what time it is, so you're going to have to break it and tell me. We're winging this tonight. Well, Paul, we're going to finish up real quick, and I'll bring Sheldon on.
All right. Like
Paul was saying, everybody, guys, get the honey. You need it. And honey for a bird, raw honey, organic honey for a burn or cut, that's nature's antibiotic. It's the best.
Hello?
Hello, I'm still here. Are you there?
That's Sheldon's mic. Sheldon's with us now, and it sounds like his kid's in the background.
Okay.
And it is five minutes after the hour, Aaron.
Okay. Thank you. You're my timekeeper now, Glenn. Well, Paul, I appreciate you calling in tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you. I'll talk
just
to you
sit
soon.
Back
you call
and listen.
In again.
All right.
Okay. Hey, don't be a stranger.
Okay.
All right. You take care. Hey, Sheldon, welcome to the show. It's a little nutty tonight.
Well, hello. Thank you for inviting me, Aaron.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. I'm on my cell phone. We've lost our power. So I have no internet. I have no nothing. We're like lighting lanterns and candles and all that good stuff. So it's a little chaotic this evening, Sheldon. I do want to introduce Sheldon Day to everybody. He is a former radio talk show host. He was the light of day. And Sheldon has a very, very keen interest in all things that have to do with Earth changes, Planet X, solar storms, volcanoes. Have I pretty much hit a lot of it, Sheldon?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. There seems to be some very bizarre behavior being manifested by our government right now, and they seem to be preparing for some type of big event, and the indicators of this are just ramping all over the place. For one, I come across a contract that NASA issued to a subsidiary of Prudential Relocation Services back in late August of 2007, which would allow NASA to start relocating their own people. And that contract is up about the 1st of September of next year.
Okay.
And, you know, they shut the space shuttle program down. I was always a big fan of the space shuttle flights growing up, and I later found out that they're being used for other purposes. But it makes sense for them to shut down the space shuttle program there in Florida because the entire East Coast could be underwater soon if a chunk of the Canary Islands falls into the ocean. And there's a lot of activity going on in the Canaries right now. They've had 11,000 earthquakes since July 17th. And the last few days, some of the quakes near the island of El Hierro are getting a little shallower.
I saw that. Okay. 1.7 or 1.9 miles or something, I think, Sheldon?
Yeah, well, there's a researcher out there by the name of Ann Morrison. She's more in tune with this stuff. She says when these quakes get less than 5 miles deep around the Canaries, we really need to start paying attention. Now, what's
now,
the cause
of all
this?
For people that understand, Sheldon, back up just a little bit. If the volcanoes on the Canary Islands, if those erupt or a big chunk of the islands fall into the water, then what happens?
Well, the BBC and Discovery Channel have shown us documentaries on this. They're sort of like conditioning the public to get ready for this. What would happen is a mega tsunami would be generated because a landslide-driven tsunami is much more devastating than an ocean-based earthquake tsunami. And that would create a tsunami anywhere from 150 to 800 feet by the time it got to the East Coast to be traveling around the speed of sound. And, you know, that would totally wipe out Florida, the entire East Coast, Cuba, the northeast corner of South America.
Wow, 850
really
feet tall.
It could be
people, imagine 850 Imagine. Holy cow. Okay.
Aaron, I would really like to jump in and with
sure.
a comment or two. I've been doing a lot of reading about this going on in the Canary Islands, and I was looking at some photos, too. In fact, one of them was some surging coming up from the ocean floor, and you could see it bubbling. They showed a helicopter above this that looked like a little speck hovering over this massive thing that was coming up from the ocean floor, however hundreds of feet below it was. It was amazing. What I want to ask Sheldon here, how come, because this has been going on for several months, they've been watching this, how come nobody, and I've heard these predictions too, how this could hit the United States. How come there's been no warnings going on? Are they worried about a panic on the East Coast or something, or do you have any comments on that?
Well, I would say they don't want to alarm the public too much. They're also under-reporting earthquakes and the daily ultraviolet index from the sun. There's a number of things they're doing to try to keep the level of panic down, because they're trying to conceal these earth changes up until the last minute, because they want to just barely keep the economy rolling along until the final moments. And, well, there's another talk show host named John Moore out there. He says that they're not doing it because of panic, but he says that what would happen is small business owners would start to prepare, and they'd start preparing for themselves, and that's something the ruling power elite don't want. So I guess there's two ways you can look at it. It's either mass panic or you know, small business owners finding out what's coming and them hunkering down themselves.
Well, and that's what I had heard, was most are worried and are hiding or trying to keep it low key because of what they're afraid it will do to the fragile economy that we have,
right.
And would rather wait until the last minute to watch 4 million people try to evacuate a city, I guess.
Yeah,
right.
Because
you said all panic
like
now.
What's that, Aaron?
If it set off panic, I mean, I think John's a friend of mine, too. I think he's right, because if they set off a panic and chaos, people are going to quit their jobs. They're going to start hoarding everything, which I would, too. But they want to, the way I understand their thinking, because I'm assuming the Canary Islands would have something to do with Planet X, is it's getting closer, right? They
right,
want to hold off and get as much of their stuff as they can and get it underground for themselves.
Yeah, people might not even pay their taxes. And, yeah, that's right. The driver mechanism behind all these earth changes is pretty much being caused by the inbound brown dwarf star called Planet X. It has various names, Nibiru, the Death Star, the Destroyer. And this is something actually John DiNardo figured out, and I actually agree with him on this. The reason the elites are going underground and been building these underground cave cities since the end of World War II is because they're very fearful of the solar scorching that's eventually going to occur from the sun, because as Planet X gets closer, it's going to, because of its molesting electromagnetic and gravitational field, it's going to cause the sun to flare out at some point. And the elites know that they're really risking their lives by going underground because of these never-before-seen earthquakes we're going to be seeing soon. But at the same time, they're extremely desperate to try to survive anyway. So they're going to go underground because they're so worried about the solar scorching.
Now, Sheldon, when Glenn was talking about that photo he had seen with the ocean kind of roiling under a helicopter, was that gas is escaping from a volcano? What was that? I didn't see it, so I don't know.
That's one of numerous underwater vents out there south of the El Hierro Island. The residents there call them jacuzzis. But where one of those vents are under the ocean surface, there's actually a new island starting to form. And that's interesting, because one time John DiNardo told me that he was told from a friend of his, this was 3 or 4 years before the BP oil spill, that they eventually expect land masses to arise out of the Gulf of Mexico. Well, that's what we're seeing right now south of that Canary Island. A new land mass is starting to arise out of the ocean there.
Well, during my research on the New Madrid fault line and whatnot, it came to my attention, and maybe you can clarify this for everybody, that actually in the Gulf of Mexico at the mouth of the Mississippi, there's like four or five volcanoes in that area.
Well, that's what happened with the so-called BP oil spill. That was no corporate stupidity. That was actually an accident. The elites took advantage of the fact that as they knew Planet X was coming in, it was going to give them this tremendously, tremendously gratifying opportunity for drilling into an undersea oil volcano. Now they drilled into it, and the thing's out of control. So they're trying to conceal the earth changes here is what they're doing out in the Gulf of Mexico. But you got all the people out there in the alternative research communities. They always have all these other theories, but almost no Patriot broadcaster is talking about that, that they're concealing earth changes is what they're doing.
Oh, I think so. I agree. That's what I thought for a long time. So I do agree on that. BP was a good scapegoat.
You know, it's interesting on the movie Knowing with Nicolas Cage about a year before that oil spill, it showed it on the movie Knowing. It's like the producers of the films are subtly trying to warn us what they know is going to happen.
I think they do.
Remember,
they do.
Yeah.
Another
thing it showed in that movie Knowing with Nicolas Cage is the sun scorching the earth at the very end of the movie, and well, maybe that's what's really going to happen.
Now, what are your personal recommendations, Sheldon, for those of us out here that are preparing for many different things, you know, economic collapse, earth changes, Planet X? You know, we're all kind of preparing in this arena. What are your recommendations, or what do you recommend people do? Because I personally can't afford to build like an underground bunker, okay? I can't.
Yeah, that's a big problem. As bad as the economy is, most people can't get prepared for this, and that's exactly what the elites want. They don't want us to be prepared enough. They sort of want us to be prepared, but not totally. I mean, it's like their subtle way of telling us that, you know, after the fact that, ha-ha, at least we told you so.
Right.
What I would recommend is, number one, get your spiritual priority in order, because you're says in the Bible your creator will supernaturally protect you from the cataclysms.
I agree
that are
too.
Coming.
If you're not prepped spiritually, you might as well hang it up.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's the number one thing. Otherwise, just prepare as much as you can. Get to higher elevations, stockpile up on water. What me and John DiNardo do, we just, any two empty 2-liter bottles, empty 1-gallon jugs, we just fill them up with tap water. I mean, yeah, it's not good for you, but it'll help keep you alive if at some point.
Well, and you can treat it as you need it, too. As you go to use it, you can treat it. That's one of the reasons we got an above-ground pool. It's just a little cheap Intex above-ground pool, but, you know, it holds 3,000 gallons of water.
Yeah, there's certain things you can put in the water, too. Yeah, you can get that stuff at Walmart and that.
Exactly. You get the pool shock, anything like that to treat it. Excuse me. Sorry, guys. No way to mute my mic. I know John's preparing too. I know John Moore's preparing, and John DiNardo. Both the Johns are preparing. Which, you know, that's why we're here. You know, you're probably like we are. We're putting food back and seeds back. What do you think about headed into next year into a solar maximum? I mean, part of the scorching thing, but I think we're going to have some major problems with some EMPs, don't you?
Well, that's another thing. I think NASA's really lying to us about the next solar max, because Jupiter was at its closest point to the sun a few months ago. According to John DiNardo, that's actually the height of the solar max, and NASA's trying to tell us, oh, it's still another year or two away. But at the same token, the sun is not violently outlashing at us like it should be, especially with Planet X coming and exciting it. So I think the elites are really worried about what the sun's going to do at some point. That's why they ran that emergency, that first ever nationwide emergency alert system test back on, what was that, November 9th.
November 9th, yeah.
Because they're worried about what the sun's going to do. And in that movie, Knowing, that I mentioned, it also showed that emergency alert system test, if you recall.
Actually, I don't, Sheldon. Did it really? Okay.
It only shows it for like 2 to 4 seconds, but it's in there.
Wait a minute. Is that when he was with his parents at their house?
Right when that lady went to the gas station and they were finding it on TV that the authorities were... Yeah.
Okay, I do remember that. You're right. And see, their emergency alert system didn't work so well, did it?
No, it malfunctioned in numerous cities across the U.S., so I guess they're going to try it again. And then also all cell phone carriers are going to be required now to put chips in their phones so the president can send emergency text messages to everybody like the early part of next year, I believe.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Really sweet. Now, do you have any idea, because I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard any scuttlebutt or rumor or anything about when they're going to try the emergency alert test again.
I'd have to go look at my notes. I don't know when they're going to do it again.
Okay. I don't know either. I haven't heard anything. We know they're up to something. We know there's something going on. There's too much evidence to point any other direction except that we better be preparing. When they say it's all good and FEMA's going to, you better run the other way. And you better be putting stuff back is kind of what we think.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
I would say if you're considering relocating, maybe try to get to the high country out in Colorado because the elites are going there. I just found out Arrow Electronics and Coleman Camping, they're relocating to Denver now. You already have Monsanto in Englewood, which is a suburb of Denver. CIA relocated out to Denver, and NASA, that first thing I told you about NASA relocating their own people, that contract costs 3 times more than what the CIA spent to move from Langley, Virginia to Denver.
Really?
Yeah, so like 3 times more NASA spent on relocating their people. I did a FOIA request on the NASA contract here, and most of it was blacked out. Me and John Moore really didn't learn much from it.
Now, what do they come out and actually say anything, you know, when they're questioned about why they're relocating everything?
I never really asked NASA. I mean, I just sent in the FOIA request for the contract.
Okay.
But it's really, really bland. It doesn't really tell you nothing.
When do you think that we will be able to actually see Planet X? Does anybody have any time? I don't want you to set a date. That's not what I'm asking, Sheldon. I'm not going to put you on the fence like that. Are we going to see, maybe be able to see Planet X maybe in the spring? I know that one lady, Ann Eller, was saying that by the time you can see it with the naked eye, you've got about 7 weeks until a full shift. Do you believe that as well?
Well, that sounds like, yeah, good information, but I just don't know if it's true or not. I like to go along with what John Moore has said, that the continuity of government contingency planning had until the end of 2010 to get all their final preparations done with their underground shelters. Any time after that is just, added time that they can still keep preparing. So I think this thing's already overdue. What I think is happening is God is slowing the trajectory of this inbound dwarf star in, because he's a very loving creator. He's trying to maybe just give people more time to prepare. That's what I think.
Well, you know, I said that on the radio. Every day that we have that it hasn't fallen apart yet is a blessing from our Father, because it gives us more time to prepare. It gives us another paycheck under our belt to buy stuff, you know. Any time is a blessing, because I would have thought this whole economy would have fallen apart 2 or 3 years ago myself, and it didn't. So the only way I can think that we've made it this far, like you said, is from the Father, that it's in his time, it's not in our time. I learned that whole patience thing. You know, I can't question timing because it's not up to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only thing that makes sense to me. And surprisingly, most of these Planet X researchers are you know, pretty religious people. I'm not religious, but that's the only thing that really makes sense to me.
It does make sense. It really does. And that's probably what both of John's think, too. Now, you know, we have some of the listeners that live down toward the Gulf and whatnot. You know who I'm talking about in the chat room. Is he going to have enough time to maybe get out of the way? Are we going to have enough warning that we can head inland?
I don't know. I've never survived the apocalypse before, and you know, some of the
me neither.
Some of the behavior manifested by these ruling power elites is sort of irrational. So it's just hard to tell whether they're going to give people enough notice or not. I know that the elites have had these 200-year-old plans to eventually reduce the population of the planet, and what I learned from John Moore was that they're actually taking advantage of the passage of this Planet X to, you know, so they can sort of get a double whammy effect of those already 200-year-old existing plans to depopulate the planet.
Okay. I was going to ask you that next. See, get out of my head. I think, too, because I think they think that a lot of them will survive and they'll come up and they'll rule the world, you know. They'll get their one world government,
but
double dictator.
Yeah, that is the elite's plan, but they could be in for a heck of a surprise. According to Lucas, have you ever heard of Lucas?
Yeah, I know Lucas.
Yeah, it's something interesting he said that caught my attention. He says that the reason they're autonomizing and robotizing the military is because the elites are eventually going to be underground, and they plan to send their robots to the surface to enforce the law at some point. That seems to make sense, because we have the movies like The Terminator and that. I think the producers of those movies have always been subtly trying to warn the people what might happen in the future.
Well, and that does make sense. And they have, like, you know, like we've always said, they have so much technology that they don't share with us little people. So they have probably a lot more roboticized soldiers hidden somewhere.
I mean, one day I was on YouTube looking at this thing on YouTube called I think it's called the Big Bear or Big Cat. It's this robot that DARPA was testing out. I mean, you could see the stuff on YouTube, what they're already been playing around with.
Are you talking about that really creepy-looking one that looks like almost like a spider?
I think so. I haven't looked at it in a long time. I'm not sure what it's called, really.
I can't remember either, but it was really creepy.
Yeah, I got so much on my plate. It's just so hard to keep up with all this stuff. I mean, we got sinkholes popping up all over the place, natural gas pipeline explosions, train derailments. These are all indicators of the earth changes that are going on, and the earthquakes are getting stronger. More volcanoes going off. Man, there's been a lot of volcanoes going off. We just had one today go off down in Ecuador.
Okay. Now, what about Krakatoa? I know it was kind of rumbling again.
I'm not sure. I just know that there's been a lot of volcanoes going off here the last few months. I don't really focus on that too much, on the volcanoes.
Okay. Well, and look at all the earthquakes they were having in Oklahoma.
Last week there were 6 and 4 days. Plus, Oklahoma had the strongest ever recorded there, 2 weeks ago, I think.
Really? No, I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah, it was about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, the strongest one ever in Oklahoma. It was, the Christian Science Monitor said it was felt in seven or eight states, but when I got in the depth looking into it, that thing was felt in at least half the country.
Wow. Okay. I didn't feel it. I can't have any of that claim to fame. But
no,
I do
either.
Know that there's something going on. We have too many weird earthquakes and volcanoes and weird weather, and we have snowicanes. You know, personally, I wouldn't want to have been up in the Aleutian Islands when that snow cane came through. That just didn't sound real fun to me.
This is another thing. John Moore has a friend named Ann Morrison, and she went to one of these, I think they're called CERT training things there, and Missouri, and there was some NOAA scientist that was talking to Ann Morrison in the hallway, and he told her, just wait until people start seeing these hurricanes over land.
Yeah, and we've already had, well, we had one, was it last year? We had one here in the States, remember? So they are starting to show up. I think it was last year. It was up by Chicago, wasn't it? I can't get
the
camera.
I know there was one that went over, there was one that went over Missouri 2 years ago, I know.
Maybe that's it. It's just weird stuff. So there has to be a reason. And the only thing that I've been able to come up with is this planet out there, this perturbing, you know, everything out there.
Yeah, you know,
I don't
put
a lot of
stuff
into my calendar.
I'm sorry, what?
Go ahead, Sheldon. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say you have all these people in the alternative research community that always want to blame it on Project HARP and the chemtrails are being sprayed to just make us all sick. I think the chemtrails are actually being used to shield the Earth from the intense radiation coming in from the brown dwarf star and from what the sun's doing to our Earth. You know, the elites have to live on the surface world too, like Lucas says, up until the end, so they just don't want to start dying of cancer.
That's right. Well, and I know a lot of people from different parts of the country this year were talking about their seeds, their heirloom seeds. Didn't germinate right, didn't germinate at all. Everybody was having different trouble with different things they were growing, too. So that would stand to reason. And I've often wondered if they weren't chemtrailing to keep some of that radiation off of us. Not that I like it. I don't like breathing in aluminum and barium. It's not my idea of a good time. And I think there's other things that they do, too.
Yeah, that's another thing. That the elites have all the inventory of all the natural seeds that locked up in their seed vaults, like the one up in Norway. Everything we're eating right now is not food at all. It's all this GMO crap. And what they plan on doing is after the Earth changes, all the natural food that's left on the planet is going to be locked up in the seed vaults, and the elites are going to say, you know, you're going to listen to us now, otherwise good riddance to you.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's it. Yep. And you know that, I mean, everybody knows about Svalbard Seed Bank, so you definitely know there's something up, because why would they, especially Bill Gates, spend all this money doing that if there wasn't a reason?
Yeah, why would he spend all that money to build that seed vault that wouldn't be needed for 40 years? I mean, there must be something imminent that's about to happen here.
Well, and just the way they have it set up, it's like it's got to withstand something pretty catastrophic.
Yeah.
Is my thought on that. You know, I don't know. There's just something going on. I have to, you know, people think I'm wacky too, Sheldon. I have to think there's a planet out there. And if that planet comes in at the right time, it will line up prophetically as well. And it would explain, you know, I always go back to Isaiah when it talks about the earth will reel to and fro like a drunkard. So, you know, something's going to make the earth reel to and fro like a drunkard.
Well, that's an interesting verse that my friend John DiNardo found in the Bible, Isaiah 63, verse, I think it's verse 1, 2, and 6. It says right in there, God will send from afar his glittering blood-red object to its goal, which is earth.
Right, yes, I know. You told me about that. That's pretty wild. And considering that this planet X, you can only see it with infrared, the way I understand it, because it's a brown dwarf, would make all sense in the world, wouldn't it?
Yeah, NASA's been tracking it since at least 1982. They sent the Pioneer spacecraft up in 79 to confirm what was perturbing the outer planets. And then they got the infrared astronomical satellite up in 82 and confirmed that the source of those perturbations were the brown dwarf star. And
right.
And then they deployed the South Pole Telescope. They've been launching all the shuttle missions with these things like the Hubble Telescope and that, so they can watch this, track this thing coming in, and you have to have infrared or X-ray or ultraviolet to see it. And then what they did was deployed the South Pole Telescope down there in Antarctica so they could really get a good view of it coming in. And, you know, that's that's about the coldest place on the planet to put a telescope in.
Yeah.
They don't really have them in the northern latitudes, but they have them down there. That's because historically Planet X always comes in from the deep south.
Okay. And I know they're talking about when it does go by, that we're going to have 3 days of darkness in the northern hemisphere and then have 3 days of light in the southern hemisphere. Now, you know, if people haven't woke up by that point, Sheldon, there's just no hope for them.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, the earth changes will get so severe, and you'll still have these dumbed-down sheeple saying, oh, it's Project TARP, it's the orbiting weapons platform that the elites are doing.
Yep. Yeah, it's something. And, well, you know, I agree, I don't like HARP either. But HARP cannot explain all of this stuff. And even if there are, 72 different HARP stations around the world, it can't explain this all.
Well, I've always heard there were like 10 to 12 HARP stations, but, you know, what the heck are the elites waiting for? If they wanted to use HARP to just blow away the planet, they could do it now. I mean, Dr. Judy Wood, she says they already have the technology to turn our planet into another asteroid belt.
Nope.
What are they waiting for?
Yeah, exactly. No, I think they could do away with this a lot quicker than waiting for this planet to come through. I think they're hoping that this planet will do the job and they won't have to do anything.
Yeah, I agree.
They don't want to spend money they don't have to. I mean, come on, you know, they are all about getting their money. Is there anything else people should know, like when we have these solar maximums, we have the scorching, we have these flares inside, is there anything else that's going to protect everybody that they can do?
Yeah, that's what I do, Aaron, on a daily basis. I watch what the sun is doing. We had a solar storm over the weekend, but it sort of impacted us weaker than what they expected. The northern lights went as far south as Wisconsin and Minnesota, I was reading today on spaceweather.com. But, man, about all you can do is just try to get yourself, you know, as low as you can. Build yourself a cellar in your house if you can, or put steel around you as much as you can. Just keep track of what the sun's doing.
Well, I often wondered about, and I don't know, I have never called John about it to ask him, what about those solar space blankets? You know, the metal ones? Should people be buying those, maybe put over their windows when, you know, it's really, or even one room in their house, like the safe room, where they could, like, even if they have to tape them on the walls and the ceiling to protect them a little bit, would that even help at all?
What do you call them, solar space planes?
No, solar blankets. Like you buy, like, they sell them in the camping section in most of the stores. It's just a metal, it's like Mylar. Like a Mylar balloon,
oh, yeah.
It's like that material. You know if it would help block some of those rays or not.
Yeah, man, when it comes to that kind of stuff, I don't know what to say. I know that, you know, people want to hear solutions more than they do want to hear all this negativity, but, man, I just don't know.
I don't know either. That's what I'm just trying to kind of come up with some answers for people. Because, yeah, like you said, it may be negative, but actually I look at it as a positive because we're preparing, you know. We're trying to give each other the best advantage we have or we can to survive what's coming. Because there are going to be people that survive, Sheldon. I'm going to be. There always have been throughout the history of this planet. So if
one
we can get even a little edge.
Another thing you can do is keep track of the daily ultraviolet index for your area where you live, but it's being underreported. If it says like a 4, you want to add maybe 2, 3, or 4 points to that.
Okay.
And if you know what your solution is to shield yourself better, you know, at least you can, you know, you could base that on what you're seeing on the UV index.
Remember in the Book of Eli? And did you watch that movie?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Remember the Book of Eli? And, of course, we've had, like, some kind of catastrophe that's befallen Earth. But they always, you know, it's just this barren... barren land everywhere, like it's been scorched. And a lot of them wore sunglasses, and, you know, they always covered up And I think we're going to probably almost look like these little nomads. You know, I can imagine wrapping up in these sheets over our head and trying to cover our faces and wear sunglasses. And, you know, people ought to be putting sheets back, I guess. You know, anything they can do to add protection into their preps.
Yeah, that's just another prime example of a movie where they're trying to tell us what these various apocalyptic scenarios in these motion pictures that, you know, this could happen, that could happen. I don't even think they know, the elites themselves know how bad it's going to get. They're just trying to throw out all these scenarios in the movies. That way they fulfilled their job and at least warned the public to some degree.
Well, and they always try to tell you what's coming down, whether they're doing it or not. You know, they always try to give you warning because it gives them more power, too. And I do think, I mean, I don't think any of us know how bad this is going to get. I don't think any of us maybe even can imagine how bad it's going to get. But I look at it like I would rather have an idea so that I can prepare so that, you know, I'm not totally blown away by this. That at least I have an idea. At least I have a plan, I guess.
Well, from what I've heard in research, that this passage is going to be worse than the last. The last time it was flooding. This time it's going to be incineration.
I know. Pick your poison, right?
Huh?
Well, I said pick your poison, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, I don't know what it's going to be like. I just know that we're going to have to figure out, and I'm sure that, you know, we'll all figure stuff out to do to protect ourselves. You know, there's a lot of us that live where there's not any caves. We don't have any access to that. Obviously, your vehicles are probably not going to work. So where you are is probably where you're going to be hunkered down, and you have to make the best of it. Now, I think
yeah,
you're
you know,
out
you
somewhere on the...
Got... Huh?
Oh, go ahead, Sheldon.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you have all these patriots in the alternative research community saying, oh, the foreign troops are going to be needed to come in to patrol the streets of America and throw all the New World Order dissidents into the concentration camps. I don't think it's going to be that way. I believe what John Morris said. He said that those camps are actually going to be used to house refugees from the coastlines when the coastlines get flooded. And
I think
you don't
that could
need
be very well true.
And you remember former talk show host Bill Cooper?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, he was one of my biggest fans. It made sense when he said that they won't need to bring foreign troops in because at some point the cities will self-destruct on their own. And when you look at the Occupy movements and all the riots and protests and everything going on, I think that's the way it's going to pan out, is that cities will just self-destruct on their own.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're starting to kind of see headed into that direction. I think you're right. And especially when now, see, there's a book. You had talked about that book, Lucifer's Hammer. Okay?
I can't remember
the author. Not you did. Who was it? You sent me to his website to listen to his radio show, Clyde Lewis.
Oh, yeah, Clyde Lewis out of Portland, Oregon, yeah.
Okay. I listened to that, and I was really intrigued by that book called Lucifer's Hammer, and I can't remember the author right now. You can get it on Amazon. I got it on my Kindle. That was a really good book. It talked about worldwide destruction, and it was chaos, and certain groups of people met up, and they survived this thing. And it's a really good prepping book. It shows you a lot of different. It's kind of like the book One Second After. It gives you a lot of fact-based fiction, I guess.
Well, I didn't get to read that book, but it's interesting that book's mentioned on that show because there's another Planet X researcher out there named Marshall Masters. He's a former CNN science editor.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
He said that after the Earth changes get here, that we're going to all have to work with each other to build survival communities.
I agree. But, we're going to have to. This book was really well written, and that you got to know each of the characters in their normal life. And then you go through the book and you see how they all kind of came together, okay? So it was kind of nice. I mean, these people are totally different from one another, you know, like it would be, and how they came together and worked and started building their community. getting their little form of government established and that type of thing. And that's where we're going to be. So if
Marshall Mathers rigid thinkers turning into fragile survivors.
That's it. That's it. 100%. You got it, Sheldon. Repeat that for everybody, would you?
Rigid survivors becoming fragile. Rigid thinkers becoming fragile survivors.
I like that. I like that because that's what it's going to be. But it, people like us that are preparing that are going to help some, maybe some other people that didn't prepare and were be able to form again. The Earth has always done this, and groups have always survived the cataclysms.
Well, you know, it's been thrown out there, too, that we should have at least 10 to 12 people in our group if we're going to have survival communities. But that could be dangerous at the same token because those could be the groups that the power elites might be chasing down after the Earth changes. Obama just passed this executive order earlier this year, the White House Rural Council, and I got to thinking about that, and maybe that's to what that, of course it's Agenda 21 stuff, but it may also be to go look for the survivalists that are out there in the rural areas.
I think you're right, and I think they want to, I think like this with this USDA thing where they want to tag every animal that you have on your farm and blah, 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 I think that's part of it too, because then they know who has what.
Yeah, that Agenda 21 stuff is very real, but I think why we don't see it implemented widespread enough is because they plan on using it at some future point, which I think will be after the Earth changes.
I think so, too. And remember their biodiversity plan, and I'm sure you've seen the map, where they've rewilded everything. Well, the Earth change is a perfect way to rewild it, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it is.
It is. Well, Sheldon, is there anything else you want to add for everybody? Any pearls of wisdom to throw out there for people? What to do, you're ready. Is there any way, I know you don't really, are you keeping up your website? Are you putting any blog posts on there at all?
No, what I do is I pretty much just update interviews that my very close friend John DiNardo gives. I find him to be just a fantastic public speaker, and it's something he never been invited on the Coast to Coast AM show. I think that show is loaded with disinformation trolls.
I think it is, too, along with some other shows out there. It's kind of like watching TV sometimes. They can go onto your website, The Light of Day, and see where you've put up John DiNardo's stuff.
It's thelightofdayradioshow.com. I quit doing radio shows back at the end of 2007 because, I work and work full-time. I got kids that just irritate me constantly. They're always tapping on my shoulder when I'm trying to do a radio show, so I just can't do it. But from time to time, I will post a podcast on my homepage.
Okay. Well, everybody can check there, too. And I guess word to everybody out there is just to keep watching. That's the best thing you could do. Be prepared.
Another thing people would want to watch for is when our authority figures start faking their own deaths or you start to see them leaving Washington, D.C. I know Queen Elizabeth has an underground bunker in somewhere in Colorado. I can't think of the town right now, but a lot of the elites are going out to Colorado.
Okay. What about this whole Gabrielle Giffords thing? Wasn't she part of the NASA Appropriations Committee and then she, quote-unquote, gets shot, and now she really doesn't even look the same? I mean, I'm not saying anything. I just don't know. I'm just kind of curious. Well, it's like, is that supposed to be a double?
How many more minutes we have left?
I think, like, 10.
Well, okay. Yeah. I personally researched the Gabrielle Giffords thing because it's right here in Tucson where I live, and there's been a lot of anomalies reported with that situation. I think this is just my opinion. I could be totally wrong, but Gabrielle Giffords served on a NASA committee, and I think what we're seeing or hearing about is actually a double or a clone of herself. I think she herself, because she's a higher with that committee in NASA, is getting prepared for Planet X coming in, and she's got two relatives in her family that are astronauts. And here's something that's not widely known either, but there's a picture, you know, the little 9-year-old girl that supposedly died? Well, there is a picture of astronaut Mark Kelly in that girl's school's library in a showcase, and that picture was brought there before Gabby Giffords got shot. So it's like NASA knew what was going to happen here in Tucson.
Hmm, that's weird. I've always known there's something weird about this whole thing, and I wondered if she wasn't a double myself.
Well, they had so many FBI agents around Tucson. I think they were here to make sure that the truth didn't get out about what really happened. Me and some friends, we went to the cemeteries, and that 9-year-old girl isn't buried anywhere in Tucson, because I've gone to the cemeteries, and one person at a cemetery told me nobody knows where that girl's buried at, so I don't even think she died.
Wow, that's weird. Well, you know what really got me was when those reports were first coming in that she'd been shot. Of course, nobody talked about the judge that got shot either, really, okay? But when she got shot, these doctors, and nobody could tell you, you know, which side she got shot from. Like, if you work in an ER, you're going to know entrance wound and exit wound on a gunshot. I mean, it's pretty obvious when you look at it. But everything for like 24 hours totally confused about which way she shot, which direction. They couldn't tell which was the exit or entrance wound. Come on.
Well, I got a friend here in Tucson. He thinks that Gabrielle Giffords gonna be the so-called Antichrist at some point. NASA's gonna use their Project Bluebeam technology to fake a staged extraterrestrial event of some kind, and Gabby Giffords may be tied in to this whole scenario too. It's just hard to figure out.
It is hard to figure out, but I think Project Bluebeam does have its applications, and it was the. I saw a video yesterday from LG for their holograms. It's up on YouTube, and it's pretty wild, pretty impressive what they're showing the public right now. We know they have much better, but what they were showing the public was pretty impressive. So I really think we are going to have to deal, like you said, with a false alien invasion, quote-unquote, that's going to come to save the planet, right?
Yeah, because what I'm thinking at some point, the elites have as part of their backup plan that the masses could get so panicky at some point that they're going to have to stage an extraterrestrial invasion and say, oh, these ETs are good, they're here to help us, that'll calm down the masses. That's what I'm thinking the whole UFO scam is about.
It definitely could be, because then, you know, they're here to help us, and they're here to fix things, and yada, yada. I think you're right.
Yeah, they just had that NBC series, The Event, TV show, that they were trying to condition the people that the ETs they're living up in Alaska, and they're good people.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. Well, of course, they have all these shows. I mean, I admit, I only watch one show on TV, and it's The Walking Dead, okay, about the zombies.
Yeah.
That's the only one I really like. Because once again,
about what?
You what? Well, I watch it because it's people banding together to survive, you know, a horrible event. And that's one of the reasons that it attracts me, all the different things they go through just to survive.
I don't ever watch any TV whatsoever. I consider it to be the most sophisticated mind control weapon in your house. I just learn about all this stuff on the Internet. Thank God for the Internet.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy using the Internet. That's what I'm on most of the time, or I've got my nose buried in a book. But The Walking Dead is the only show I watch. Otherwise, I really don't have any use for the TV. But that show does show you how different people come together and how they survive. They've got a big Winnebago camper, and you know. They work it. So that's why I like that show. But I think, once again, they're preparing us, and who knows? We can't know everything they're going to do or everything that's going to happen. We just have to be prepared.
Yeah, I agree. Well, man, this has been a great interview. I really thought it went pretty well, actually. I don't ever give radio interviews.
I thought it went real well, and I wanted you to share your information. And as you have breaking information, Sheldon, just email me and say, hey, I've got this, you know, and come on, because I want to keep the people out there that are listening aware of what's going on, you know, if something that you think that people really need to know, just let me know, okay?
Yeah, if anybody wants to add me to their, be added to my email list, they go to the top of my homepage, thelightofdayradioshow.com, and you'll see my email address on the top there, and just send me a request to be added.
Yeah, it's a good site. It's got a lot of interviews. John DiNardo, I think I've had him on this show too. I've had him on Pastor Butch. He's a good guy. I think we all just need to keep watching, and we all need to work together. That's the name of the game, is networking. And
yeah,
I really appreciate you coming
Butch.
On the show.
Yeah,
see
I've known the Pastor Butch for a few years now. It's just it's sad he's going off the air next month.
I'm hoping we can get some money coming in. I'm praying. I would like to keep him on at least a few more months as we get into this stuff next year.
Yeah, by the way, folks out there, my website has more audio files to listen on the topic of Planet X probably than any other website on the planet.
I think it does. You've got a lot, because I haven't made my way through them all yet. He's got a lot, guys, if you're interested. Other than that, I think we're going to wrap it up for the night, because I'm sitting back here in the back porch and it's getting cold since our electricity's off. So I'm going to motivate myself out by the fireplace, but I appreciate everybody listening out there. Thank you for listening to the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Check out the American Preppers Forum, and check out the Light of Day radio show for Sheldon Day, and we'll definitely have him back on if he's willing to do that and share with us. And I appreciate you, Sheldon.
Well, thank you, Aaron. Have a good night.
All right. Everybody, you all out there, have a really good night, and blessings to all. We'll see you next week. Hopefully we have power. Okay. Thanks. Bye, everybody.